at our pastor's conference, Brother Wally Blackman of East Highland Baptist Church gave a little devotion on Daniel chapter 3 of the fiery furnace and King Nebuchadnezzar. And what he talked about was those three Hebrew boys, their response in the face of that persecution. And that's what I'm going to call it, persecution. And we all talked about it around the table and, you know, had a lot of good thoughts. And it really, I really couldn't get it out of my mind. I mean, I thought about it a lot the last couple of weeks. So I want to share with you tonight some thoughts that I had on that. And but just for some background, and I know most of you will know this. In fact, all of you will know it, and many of you will know the story better than I do. But just for some background, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he didn't understand the dream. And he got all of his soothsayers and magicians and wise men to come and interpret the dream. Now, he didn't think much about those guys because he didn't trust them. He said, now listen, not only do I want an interpretation, but you're going to have to tell me what the dream was. So it's kind of double jeopardy for them. That'd be a pretty tough situation. And, of course, they couldn't do it. And he threatened to kill them all. And now I'm paraphrasing all this, but he threatened to kill them all. And they finally said, well, look, maybe we do know somebody. Maybe Daniel can give you an interpretation. So they went and got Daniel. Daniel came before him. And Daniel said, yeah. He said, I can interpret it. He said, I can tell you what the dream was, and I can tell you the meaning of the dream. So Daniel proceeded to do that. And in his King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he saw a huge statue made of bronze and gold, and his feet was partly clay and iron. But anyways, the king was so impressed with Daniel that he made him ruler over the entire region of Babylon. And Daniel had some friends, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had them as friends. And he told the king, well, don't forget about my friends. Do something for them. They need a job. So the king made them administrators over Babylon. Now, the king, right after his dream, we don't know how long after his dream, after he had this dream and Daniel interpreted it for him, at some point, this went to the king's head, and he decided that he would build the statue that he saw in his dream. Now, he made this statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and it was gold. Now, I'm sure it wasn't solid gold. It's probably made out of wood and overlain with gold. But even at that, it would have been a monumental task and a huge expense for the kingdom. So after he got through with the monument, he called all the people in the region who was anybody, called all the mayors, the sheriffs, the political leaders, the governors, anybody who was anybody. He made them come down and said, look, we're going to throw a party and we're going to play some music. And when this music starts, I want everybody to bow down and worship that image. Now, the day came, they played the music. Everybody bowed down, with the exception of three young Hebrew boys. Now, you would think in a crowd that large that they could get by, that they wouldn't be noticed. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that they protested in any way, just said they didn't do it. But you know, there's always a wise guy. There's always a smart aleck who wants to get involved. And the Bible calls them Chaldeans. And they went to the king and told him, said, look, we know three guys that didn't bow down. So the king said, well, go get them. So he went and got them. He said, now look, you didn't bow down. I told you if you didn't bow down, you're going to be thrown into a fire, but I'm willing to give you another chance. Just go ahead and bow down, and we'll forget about it. We'll call it good, and everything will be okay. Now that's where I want to pick up our reading at, okay? So in Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 16. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. In other words, we don't have to think about it. We hadn't got to call a conference and consider it among ourselves. We hadn't got to sleep on it. In fact, we really don't even need to give you an answer concerning this. He said, if it be so, if you throw us in the fire, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods, and we're not going to worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, I have three basic lines of thinking that I want to talk about tonight. The first one is this. If you serve, truly serve, the only true God, you will face persecution. Now, here in America, when we think about persecution, we think about places like Asia or Africa. And it is true that we have enjoyed immense freedom here in this country. And when we see persecution and think about it, we think about it in those faraway places. But for us to believe that we will remain immune from that kind of persecution is really short-sighted. And I mean, all you got to do is just look around and see what's going on around us. There's a growing disdain for conservative Christianity. But to believe that we would continue to be immune to this is not only unbiblical, but I would also add that is not healthy for our spiritual growth. Now, I understand that for anybody to say that Christians in this country face severe persecution, I understand that that would be a vast overstatement. And it would also be a slap in the face to the thousands of Christians who around the world are severely persecuted daily. Last year, over 4,000 Christians were murdered in Africa alone. So we better be aware that the wind of change is beginning to blow. And the veil of protection that we have always enjoyed as Christians is rapidly being torn away. Now, there are some that would call my statements over the top, fear-mongering, shock-mongering, maybe the words of an alarmist. But I want you to be clear of what I think. Persecution, real persecution, is on its way. And we better be prepared for it. Now, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm only telling you what the Bible has already told us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said in John chapter 15 that a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now he further said that the hour is coming that when they kill you, they will think that they're doing me a favor. Now I could cite many other scriptures, but for our time tonight, I won't. But I want to give you some things that I've learned this week. Now, according to Open Doors USA, a Christian advocacy group, 1 out of 8 Christians worldwide face some form of severe persecution or discrimination. That's 340 million Christians that face severe persecution. Last year, there was a 60% increase in the number of Christians that have been killed for their faith. Now, I found that information off the Open Doors website. Now, just to give you an idea of the rapidly growing attitude in this country or around the world, let me read you some quotes that I found. I got 4 of them, so just bear with me. The first one is this: kill them all, let their God sort them out. Second one: a torturous death would be too good for them. The third one: I'd be a bit giddy, certainly grateful, if everyone who saw himself or herself in that category, in other words, anybody who saw themselves as a Christian, they would be giddy if we were snatched permanently from the society, whether by Holocaust, rapture, or plague. In other words, you know, if COVID-19 don't get them, maybe the Lord will cover them. I don't care if we have to lock them up in concentration camps as long as they disappear. Now, here's the last one. I am only too well aware of their horrific attitudes and belief, and those are enough to make me see them as unhuman. Now, you say, well, Keith, you know, that's obviously from Asia, Africa, Middle East, somewhere like that. No. Those quotes were compiled by Dr. George Yancey, a professor at Baylor University right here in the United States. Now, you, so what am I saying? I'm saying that we need to get our head out of the sand and be aware that this is something that is headed down our way. Now, I make no predictions. I don't say that it's going to happen this week, this year, this month, or even in my lifetime. But it could. And I think it'll certainly happen in our children or our grandchildren's lifetime, that we face this time type of severe persecution right here in this this country. My history teacher used to have a saying. She said, we need to wake up and smell the coffee. Now, don't you all feel blessed, by the way? I mean, don't you, ain't I making you feel good? Okay. Now, I hope that I have established that persecution is coming. So if it is coming, a response will be required. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because of their unwillingness to conform, they were called before the king. Now, what was their response? Look in verse, the last part of verse 18 said, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods and worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, this world is constantly trying to mold us and to shape us into the image that they would like for us to become. It seems like it's a constant bombardment from one perversion after another. Now, it may not be a golden image. We may not ask to bow down before a golden image. Excuse me. But it is idolatry nonetheless. Now, what are some of the ideas that we are asked to accept today? Homosexuality, transgender, bisexual, intersectionality, social justice, I could go on. All of these are actions, ideas, or theories that we are supposed to bow down to, and if we don't, we're labeled as unloving, bigoted, narrow-minded, homophobes. Now, I said that those things are idolatry. Now, why? Because when we accept those things, we replace the truth of God's word with our own flawed idea of right and wrong. No longer is it thus saith the Lord, but it is thus saith man. See, when we elevate our thoughts over the holy and righteous thoughts of God, that is a form of idolatry. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now, wouldn't it be a joy to have the mind of Christ? This world is trying to change the way we think. We're supposed to give in to those things. Now, if persecution is coming, and I say it is, an answer will be required. But hallelujah, grace will be supplied. Now I want you to look in verse 17. It says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now I wish I had that kind of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that God was sovereign, and they knew that God could protect them from the fires if that was his will. But I love the fact that they added this. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods. Now, God did rescue those three Hebrew boys. They wasn't a hair burned on their head. The Bible said they didn't even smell like smoke when they come out. And you know, we all love to hear those kind of stories. You know, because they have a good ending. We love the good endings. But you know, all stories don't end the same. God is sovereign. And sometimes he might require us to stand the test of fire. Stephen had to. Peter had to. Many of the early church fathers died a horrible and cruel death because of what they believed about Jesus Christ. And not only their belief, but they was willing to stand for what they believed. And I just wonder, are we willing to stand for what we believe? And I'm talking to myself. I mean, I'm telling you, if I was put in front of a fire furnace, they told me I was going to be thrown in there, I'm afraid that I'd tuck my tail between my legs. I mean, I am. I'm asking myself. But you know, God is faithful to his children. And the Bible tells us that while Stephen was being stoned, that he prayed for those who were throwing the rocks. And I love the next part of that. I don't have the exact scripture down, but he prayed for those who were throwing the rocks. And the Bible says, then he fell asleep. And you know, I said earlier that all stories don't end the same. I'm going to have to back that up, because if you are faithful to keep God's word, all of God's children's stories end the same. He will provide grace to those who need grace. He'll provide peace for those who need peace. And he'll provide comfort to those who need comfort, even in the midst of severe persecution like a fire. Now, I can't imagine what it would be like to face that kind of persecution. I hope I don't never have to, but I'm afraid some of us might. But I just think that we need to be aware that the freedoms that we have always enjoyed concerning our faith is not guaranteed. And we need to stand on the truth of God's word, and not fall into the compromise that the world wants us to fall into. And I'm just afraid that we're not prepared for that kind of persecution. I know that I'm not prepared for it, at least I don't think I am. I shudder at the thoughts of having to face those kind of things. But I believe God is sovereign, and I believe that he will help us if we're faithful to the truth of his word. When the Bible said that Stephen just fell asleep. Now, I can't back this up with any other scripture, but I believe that just the way of saying, you know, you think about it. Now, they're throwing stones at him. Stephen prayed for him, and then the Bible says he just fell asleep. I believe God protected him from all that suffering, and he just fell asleep. And I believe God will protect us, but we have to remain faithful and true to his holy word. Now, that's all I have. We'll get out a little early tonight. But does anybody have anything, or a word, or special prayer? Or nobody? Stacy, I want to ask if you'd lead us in prayer and dismiss us, please.